And we're talking to Mike Stewart, who is sitting here at Spacefest working on an actual Block 2 Apollo guidance computer. Welcome to the Space Show.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Really good to be here.
So you've got some white gloves on and you're working on this computer, which looks like it's from the 60s, and I assume it is. What exactly are you doing?
So right now I'm taking one of the power supplies out of the computer. There are some factory tuning resistors that set the voltage levels in this computer. We don't have the procedures that they use to set the values for those resistors. We don't really have any idea what range of values they can be. So I'm going to take this out and take some pictures of it, because there aren't any pictures of one of these out of the computer, and then take some measurements.
So you'll be recording the voltages and circuits within that module, or
just resistances today? There isn't any power applied to the computer at the moment. We are looking into the possibility of powering this on sometime in the next year, but we have a lot of work to do before then.
So for people listening on radio, it's very difficult. This is a block of metal with probably 30 modules bolted into it. And tell me what they are. And we had a look at it yesterday, flipped over. What's going on here?
So 24 of these modules contain 120 integrated circuits each. Every single integrated circuit is a dual three-input NOR gate. So this computer was designed entirely with NOR gates. The backside is a big mess of blue wires that interconnects all the modules. Every module has, I think, 268 pins going to the backplane, and you know, there's 24 of them. So there's a whole lot of wires back there. There's five interface modules that do signal level conversion and interfacing to the rest of the spacecraft. Two power supplies.
So yesterday it was flipped over and I saw you with a laptop computer and a couple of electrodes or electrical connectors. And I think you said you were mapping sort of the paths of the circuits?
That's right, yeah. We have mostly complete schematics for this computer, but not fully complete. So what I was doing yesterday was I was tracing out all of the connections that we don't know from the available schematics. A lot of that was in the erasable memory. One of the big ones is the main spacecraft connector, which is 360 pins. We knew probably about half of those. And then all of the internal connectors going between the logic tray and the memory tray, there's 240 pins there that we didn't know any of. And there's probably somewhere around 180 pins going between the memory tray and the core rope memories that we also didn't know anything about. So the task yesterday was to map all of that out, and I was successful. I think we know what every pin does now.
So this is the Apollo guidance computer, and there was two of those. There's one in the command module and one in the lunar module. They're virtually the same.
They are completely identical. The only difference between them is what program they have plugged into them.
And so let's sort of put it into modern terms. How many gigabytes is this unit, and what's its speed of processor?
All right. So this thing has 2,048 words of RAM, where a word is 15 bits. So it doesn't map to bytes directly. So 2,048 words of RAM, 36 kilowords of program memory, ROM. And the processor speed, it has a 2 megahertz crystal that's divided down in half before it runs into any logic circuits. So it runs off of basically a 1 megahertz clock. It takes 12 of those clock cycles to do a memory cycle, and it normally takes 2 to 3 memory cycles to execute an instruction. So when you... you know, calculated it all out, you get an instruction rate of about 20 to 30 kilohertz.
So this is this would have been the computer that created the famous 1201 and 1202 alarms. Tell me how that worked.
So there was it was actually a design flaw in the lunar module and its power supplies. So there are two separate... going off the top of my head here, so I might have some numbers wrong. There are two separate, 240 hertz AC power supplies. one that powered the Rendezvous radar, and one that powered the coupling data unit, which did the conversions between the angle of the radar and the AGC. So what happened was, when they powered up the Rendezvous radar, there is an incredibly small chance, on the order of milliseconds, maybe microseconds, where the phase of the two AC power supplies can be such that it's seen by the coupling data unit as the radar jittering back and forth really, really quickly. So the power supplies were frequency locked but not phase locked. So on 11 they just got extremely unlucky and powered it up at just the wrong microsecond. So the coupling data unit, the CDU, was seeing the radar jitter back and forth. And the way the AGC works is on its main connector, the way it gets angle information is it has two pins, two digital pins that are basically just a plus count and a minus count. So while the Rendezvous radar was jittering, it was just getting plus minus, plus minus, plus minus, plus minus, plus minus as it went back and forth. Internally, the computer only has one adder. So every time it gets a plus or minus count, it has to stop executing its program and execute what they called an unprogrammed instruction, just a single memory cycle instruction that loaded a value from a location, added one to it, or subtracted one to it, and wrote it back out. And this just happened in the middle of program flow, sort of like an interrupt, but it didn't have to save any context when that happened. So they're also called cycle-stealing instructions. Roughly 15% of the processing time for the AGC was being stolen, and that was enough for the software to start getting backed up. The landing works on a 2-second guidance period, so there's a task in the AGC called the servicer that basically gets state information in, calculates what it wants to do with the engines for the landing, writes all that out to the engines, and then updates the displays to the disky. And this task takes normally a little bit less than 2 seconds, and it started exactly every 2 seconds on the dot. And so what was happening was the servicer wasn't able to finish in time. So the servicers were stacking up. Sometimes the display would go blank because that's the last thing the servicer does. So they would get to the point where they had, you know, 3-4 servicers running. And once that happened, when they tried to start another servicer, they would run out of available slots to have another servicer running. And that's what causes a 1201 or a 1202.
Was it they also had left the abort guidance radar on as well as the landing radar? Was that another thing that contributed?
So that's a sort of a popular misconception. The problem was because they had the Rendezvous radar on, but it was according to the checklist. It wasn't an error or anything like that. It's just that they got really unlucky. They did know about this before the flight. It had been observed, I want to say, in 1968 at Cape Canaveral on LEM 2, I think, during testing. George Silver from MIT wrote a report to it about it and filed this report at Grumman. But Grumman and MIT weren't getting along very well at the time, so they didn't really pay attention to it. And the people that knew about this problem didn't really get together with the people that knew how bad it was, the software guys. And so, you know, just confluence of events.
What's the long-term plan with this, this particular computer? We've got two items here. Are they two separate computers or are they a combined unit?
This is all one computer. So the half on my right here just kind of flips over and plugs into the top of this one. So it's just broken up into two trays, the logic tray and the memory tray. The modules are inside, and then each tray has its own backplane that are sort of like on the outside of the computer.
I mean, it looks pretty solid, so I suspect when it's powered up, it would generate a fair bit of heat as well.
Yeah, I think it's about 70 watts when it's running.
So what's the plan for this computer? I think you said yesterday, the other day, the longer-term aim is to fire it up.
That's right, yeah. We're hoping to bring this back online, turn it on for the first time in something like 50 years. It'll be really awesome if we do it, but like I said, we have a lot of homework before we do that. Understanding what all of the circuits were in it, like all the wires, was the first step, but now we have to assess the health of everything.
So, I mean, this is really computer archaeology. I mean, have you had much involvement with people from the time who designed it and built it?
Yeah, so actually a lot of our documentation came from original developers. In particular, more than half of the programs that we're running and all of our schematics that we have for the memory tray came from AGC developer Don Isles, who wrote the descent guidance for the landing.
Wow. Well, that's really fascinating. I'm going to take a few photos after this and we'll share them out. But listen, thank you so much. You look like you're about... You weren't around when they land on the moon, I take it. So you, yep. This is a side project for you?
Yeah, this is just a hobby. It's a passion project of mine. I've been studying this computer for the past 4 or 5 years. This is my first opportunity to be hands-on on a real one. So I've answered a whole lot of questions that I've been building up for the past few years. This is an incredible opportunity.
So we're at the telemetrics booth. Is this a project, like, is this a company? Is this a private project? Is this something that's being funded by you or some voluntary group or a commercial operation?
So telemetrics is a company. They're building replica diskies, which were the display and keyboard for this computer. They're just sort of letting me and the owner of this computer crash in their booth. So I'm not much involved with telemetrics directly.
And what's your own story? What's your background and what do you do for a job?
For the past 7 years, I've been doing flight software at various space companies. Started out working on a lunar lander, and then I did some imaging satellites, and now I'm working on a small synthetic aperture radar satellite.
Fantastic. Well, this is just a wonderful project. And so is there like a website or a Facebook page that we can track the progress?
The best website for this stuff is the Virtual AGC website. That's ibiblio.org/apollo. Ibiblio is ibiblio.org/apollo.
Well, listen, thank you so much for joining us on the Space Show. It's fascinating. We look forward to having the big fire up in a few years' time whenever that happens. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.